As I said, Jesus talked about money because he was trying to access people's hearts, okay? Look back at Matthew chapter 6. This is where we're going to be. We're going to kind of touch on this teaching from Jesus. This is from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You'll find this in your, if you're using the Bibles that are there in the chairs in front of you, you'll find this on page 685, and you can just follow along. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. On page 685. All right, and I'll begin reading there. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what does Jesus want more than anything else? He wants your heart. Jesus wants your affection. Your allegiance. Jesus is saying that money reveals the allegiances of your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Money helps reveal that, it reveals what we truly love. It helps reveal what we value. Our money communicates the desires of our heart. And my hope is that we might listen to what our money might be saying and evaluate how we might allow God to shape and change our hearts. Money reveals the desires of our hearts. You know what else money reveals? Money reveals what we fear as well. And many of us might be feeling fear right now. Most of us are probably feeling at least some anxiety and challenges over what is now like the highest inflation that we've seen in like 40 years, right? And inflation impacts everyone. The same paycheck that you got last month or this month is worth less today than the same one you got last month, right? I got ice cream for the boys just last week, and they charged me sales tax and a fuel convenience charge for the gas and fuel that it took to get the ice cream there. I was like, why is this bill so much for like four ice creams? Right. Milk in some place cost twice what it did a year ago. Of course, we know what's going on with gas. And of course, there's a justice component to inflation as well, because nobody is more disproportionately impacted by inflation than the poor. Right. And most economists believe that this will soon lead to a recession, which means the possibility of lost jobs, home foreclosures, devaluation of homes and savings. And even if those things don't directly impact us, they indirectly touch all of our lives because we're all more profoundly connected than we even know. So what do we do? What do we do? And I think that the best place for us to start is by taking inventory of our hearts. Because maybe we are afraid. Maybe we are putting our hope in our money. And so we need to just kind of do a check-in on what's going on in our hearts. Last night, I was working late here at the church, and I walked right into this room, the sanctuary, and it was absolutely pitch black. It's hard maybe for you to imagine that now in the light of day, what it might be like in this room with the lights completely gone and no sun shining in. If you want to get a picture of what it was like, just close your eyes. You can do that right now. That's what it was like, all right? You see that? That's like you're seeing the inside of your eyelids. That's what it was like. That's what it's like in here when the lights are out. So I fumbled my way through the room until I made it over to the light switch, which is in the back of the room there. I look back and say, okay, that's a chair that I hit. That bruise, I'll remember that because that was from, you know, that corner piece of wood. To which I get back there and I just say, thank God for light, right? How great is it that we have lamps and lights and candles and flashlights so that we can see when the lights are out, right? But what happens if your eyes don't work? If your eyes don't work, then it might as well be blackout every night, right? No lamp's going to help. No electricity, no candles to show you what's right in front of you. And the reason I mention this is because this is how Jesus describes our relationship to money. If we continue here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, it says, Jesus says these words. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? To which some of you might ask, well, Pastor, what does this have to do with money? And it must have something to do with money because it's sandwiched right in between several other verses that Jesus, where Jesus is explicitly talking about money. So what does this have to do with money? And the answer is this. It's telling us that money blinds us. Money blinds us. That's the power that money has. Well, let me put it this way. Most sins that we experience in our lives, the mistakes that we make in our lives, you know when you've made that mistake. Do you know when you cheat on a test? Of course you know. Do you know if you lust after something or someone? Of course you know. It's like right there in front of you, right there in your brain. And so when Jesus talks about all these other things, these broken things in the world, and he's trying to challenge us to be obedient. As I said earlier, when he sends us out to like make disciples in the world, teach them to obey the things I've said, a lot of them are right here in the Sermon on the Mount. All right? And so we see things like lust and honesty and gossip and pride and anger, all these different things that he's challenging us to see. And when we experience those things in our lives, conviction maybe sets in, especially if we're trying to follow the way of Jesus. We examine ourselves. We identify the error in our lives, and we make a choice. I'm going to obey and follow the way of Jesus, or I'm going to disobey and follow the way of me. All right? But whenever we hear teaching about greed, we think to ourselves, well, thank goodness that's not a problem in my life, right? That other people struggle with what they do with their money. I don't struggle with money. I'm not an Ebenezer Scrooge, right? And so Jesus warns those who are listening to him talk about money that money will blind you to its power. Take, for example, the culture that we live in today. We're surrounded by a world of options, things to purchase, and there's always something better to buy. Kathleen and I got married 18 years ago today. Today's our anniversary, and that's really kind of you. That's not what I was after, but 18 years ago, when we were just, you know, it was like we were just trying to figure out life together. We were, you know, relatively young. We were in our early 20s, and I know that's not crazy young, Doug. That's not. But we were relatively young, and we were trying to figure out how to live life, right? And we found ourselves for the very first time in our lives thrust into the world of purchasing home goods. Because we got married, we got an apartment together, and we're like, okay, let's try to furnish this place and get the things we need for the kitchen, things for the bathroom, things for the bedroom, all this stuff. And so we spent hours at Bed Bath & Beyond, hours in Target, days in Crate & Barrel, like saying, I wish we could get that. I wish we could get that. I wish we could get that. And so before I got married, I had no idea what a duvet cover was. But all of a sudden, I could not live without a duvet cover. I had no idea what thread count meant. But all of a sudden, I had to have bed sheets that were 200 thread count, 100% cotton. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. Thread count has to do with like how many threads of cotton there are per square inch of fabric in your bed sheets. The higher the thread count, the stronger and the smoother, the softer the bed sheets will be. So I know that the more educated you become on a particular line of product, the more desperately you want the better product, right? And we were, you know, we had been set on getting the 100% cotton, 200 thread count bed sheets, to which I know the linen snobs among us are saying, 200 thread count? What in the world? How can you even sleep on anything less than 400 thread count? So we were, just 18 years ago, we like barely like had jobs at the time. I couldn't afford 400 thread count. It was way out of our price range. And the truth is, you never want the things that are way out of your price range. You only want and you only covet the things that are just a little bit out of your price range, right? So we got the 200 thread count sheets, and we didn't lose a wink of sleep. We slept great, all right? A few years later, though, I decided that these 200 thread count sheets just wouldn't do, all right? Now, by that time, both Kathleen and I had jobs, we had steady income, and we had friends with 400 thread count sheets. So it only seemed natural that we should move up in the world. After all, we could afford it now. Now, fast forward several more years, Kathleen and I, like every year, like around Christmas time, we say, okay, are we going to buy presents for each other? Is there anything we need? We're super pragmatic. Like, there's nothing, like, really thoughtful or romantic about that. We're like, okay, let's figure this out. What do we need? What am I going to get you for Christmas? What are you going to give me? So we'd have this conversation. We both decided, this was several years ago, that our bed linens, they needed an overhaul. All right? At which point I took it upon myself, all right, to make the decision that 400 thread count sheets just wouldn't do anymore. All right, we needed 600 thread count luxury sheets, Egyptian Giza cotton, polyester blend for extra touch of like silky smooth. And then I'm reminded, Jesus says, if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. Money gouges out our eyes. It blinds us to the greed and the wants that we have in our lives. It allows greed to creep up on us. So 18 years ago, I could never have imagined a scenario where I would spend more than $25 on sheets for my bed. Now, I don't even think that's possible. Like, inflation, right? But now fast forward 10 years into my marriage, was that 8 years ago? I was dropping some bills, okay, on new sheets and commending myself, great job for getting such a good deal, like $100 or more, right? Are you greedy? Am I greedy? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He says, like, as he's tripping through the darkness, right? Money blinds us. That's why Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, watch out, be on guard for all forms of greed. Now, Jesus doesn't say, watch out, you might be committing adultery. Because guess what? You know you're committing adultery if you're committing adultery. Jesus tells us to open our eyes to greed. Otherwise, you don't even know you're doing it. Money blinds us to our greeds. It blinds us to our lifestyle choices. It blinds us to the friends we have within the body of Christ. Do you ever notice that most of your friends come from like the same income bracket? Oh, Pastor, that's just because, you know, well, we travel in the same circles, we work in similar spaces, we have similar interests. Maybe that's true. Or maybe people with more money don't like the feeling that they might need to share some of their money if they hang out with people or another couple in an income bracket that's lower than their own. Maybe it's a bit too overwhelming for people with less money to socialize with people who want to eat at restaurants that they just can't afford or shop for items that they didn't even know they needed, like 1,000 thread count bed sheets. Jesus says that money blinds us to our own greed, but it rarely blinds us to other people's greed, right? I remember the first time one of my friends purchased a home. We were living in Chicago at the time. It was a beautiful new construction, three-story house in Chicago. Now, I had no problem seeing how clearly greedy he and his wife were for purchasing such an extravagant house. Of course, I was completely blind to how envious I was because I was nowhere near a stage in my life where I could even think about purchasing a home. So I just looked at him like, oh, bit much, huh? Like, aren't they spending a little bit too much? I wonder how much debt they went into for that. Right. And so as money and the lack of money blind each of us to deeper realities of sin in our own lives, we drift apart, we eat at different restaurants, we wear different clothes. Money blinds us to our choices of work. How many of you are pursuing a career because you want money or the prestige that comes with a higher paying job? Money blinds us to the kind of work that we do. How often do we ask the question of our work, is this good for my neighborhood? Does this product benefit or hurt the environment? Is this investment good for the fabric industry? Will this legal case hurt anybody? We don't want to ask those questions because we don't want to look. We don't want to look because our eyes are darkened. I'm so glad that it's Kids Rock Sunday because I can easily pivot to some of the beautiful examples of the hearts of kids in our church. There's two small girls here at our church who regularly come up to me with their offering money. I don't have to pry it out of their hands. They're ready and willing to give it freely. They want to give it. Okay, Pastor, you say, that's super cute and that they do that, but do they really know what they're doing? And isn't it really just their parents' money that their parents gave them? Are they really giving their own money, or did their parents give them money for them to give to the church? I don't know all the details there. Some of that might be true, yes. And they're most likely giving money that they somehow got from their parents. I'm guessing that they're not laboring away someplace else earning money during the week. I think that it really only illustrates the point all the more and reveals how badly so many of us miss and understand what's really going on with our money. That we're actually really just like those two girls. Whatever money we have in our bank or stuffed under a mattress or whatever you do, whatever, all of it has the same source, does it not? All of our money comes from God. Whatever money you have to hold on to or be generous with, it comes from God. And in the weeks to come, we're going to talk about some of the powerful principles, life-changing principles, I believe, of stewardship, generosity, trust that can shape and change our lives for the better. Not in a health and wealth gospel kind of way, not in like a, if you do this, then God's going to zap and you're going to have the car that you want. But in a, this, God has ordered the world in a certain way, and he entrusts to his people those who trust him. Those who are faithful with a little, it says in Scripture, will be faithful with a lot, right? But it all starts with shining a light on the freeing truth that it's not mine to begin with. If it's mommy and daddy's money, a couple of small kids are happy to give it. Like, here. Like, thanks, mom and dad. Here. Like, it's beautiful, it's amazing, because they haven't been blinded by the lie that says, mine, mine. So, what's this morning all about? Just kind of, you know, like I said, we're not doing, like, not a deep, deep dive this morning. This morning's not a plea for money, no. I don't want your money. God doesn't want your money. God wants your heart. Jesus is asking for your heart. If you know what you treasure in life, you will find your heart there. If God has your heart, then giving generously to his purposes in this world will become second nature, and it will change you. Your money talks. Listen to what it's saying about the objects of your affection, the objects of your allegiance. The question that this all boils down to is Jesus your treasure? Many of us are blind to our own greed. And still, most of us are thinking, this message, good job, Pastor Stephen. I'm so glad because I know there's other people in the room who really needed to hear that this morning. Or is it for each of us? The power of money is great enough to blind us. But Jesus comes with the power to restore sight to the blind, amen?
Amen. And so, in a moment here, we're going to partake in communion together. And a reminder, I often try to remind you of just this kind of turn of phrase that I think is so beautiful. Take it with you all the way to heaven, that when we owed a debt we could not pay, Jesus paid a debt he did not owe for you. Why? Why? The same treasure principle applies. You know how Jesus calls us to store up treasures in heaven? Where is our heart? Is our heart for Jesus or is our heart for other stuff? But look at Jesus himself. He left heaven to be with us. Why? Why? He came not to be rich and powerful, but to be poor and meek. He came not to live in a lavish palace, but to his first home was barely a home. He was in an animal stall. He lived a carpenter's life. Why? Why would the King of heaven and earth give up the treasures of heaven to live and to die like us and with us? The answer is because you are his treasure. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We are the treasure that Jesus pursued at greatest cost. Might it be possible for us to respond to such a lavish love by making Jesus our treasure as well?